Welcome to the Sunday Morning Meeting Podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Nigel Fraser.
This is a really powerful church. And 3 or 4 weeks ago, you guys saw, prayed for me, and the prophetic word that Paul gave was awesome. And was actually over the whole mission. He said there's people, it's going to be a fresh bench that people are going to sit, who've been racing around doing things, are going to sit underneath the word of God, and they're going to receive from God. And we had 16 or 17 preachers I did, and 15 preachers the other guy did, when we're on the mission. So the word of God really went forward, people got healed, and the power of God was there. But when you come back here, you can see the power of God's in this church. Actually, make sure every trip I go to, I always come back grateful I'm in a church like this, where the power of God is. And I think, you know, imagine that Kingdom of Faith and the way of the Spirit works together is like a boxer. One gets you on the right, one gets you on the left. You know, it's powerful. One's the word, and you've got the power and the anointing. And the combination of those is a dramatic effect. And we were blessed because one of the teams we were working with, there was two pastors or ministers, and they'd actually witnessed someone raised from the dead last year. And a guy had been dead for about, this is a story, I didn't see it myself, I wasn't there last year, but had been dead for 3 days. And both his parents, I think, were witches, and he ended up in a Muslim house when his body did. And the Muslim said to them, you know, come round and pray for him. They threw it as a sort of a gauntlet, a bit of a challenge to the Christians. So the Christian lady went round, little old evangelist lady, and she prayed for a few hours, and then she said, I'm busy, I've got to go to another ministry appointment, but I'll send around 2 other guys to continue praying. And they did do, and then the guy started twitching and moving and then sitting up, and then up and about, and back to work. So praise God for that. You know, there's 3 things that happen when you resurrect someone from the dead. The first thing is there's 3 actual separate spiritual gifts. One, you need the gift of faith, so you actually step out and do it. Yeah. Then you need the gift of miracles, so you can actually do it, raise them from the dead. And the third thing is you need the gift of healing, so whatever they died of in the first place isn't going to kill them again. Yeah. So, now what's the lesson for us in that? You see, these things are there for us to walk into. And they're there for us as a church to walk into, because God's no respecter of persons. And I think they are lying in our destiny, they're lying in our future. For people from this church, there's no reason why you should not be raising people from the dead at some point in the future. We may not be at that point level, but God wants to build your faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Romans 10 verse 17, amen. And so God wants to heal. You know, I think that gives great hope, because we all live in physical bodies, which from time to time may develop problems. And if they do, you've got an option. What are you going to do about it? And if you know that the Bible is actually full of healing, then you can turn to God and you can receive your miracle, and you can receive your healing, and your faith grows. You see, God wants your problem to drive you to Him.
That's right.
Not for you to go and suffer and go under it. He wants you to be over it.
Amen.
And so when you've got a physical need, you need to be getting into healing. And one of the books I've been reading studying quite deeply, actually, and I think this is one of the best books on healing in the market. Obviously, the Bible's the best, but this is a book that takes you into the Bible. It's called the Bible Healing Study Course by Kenneth Hagin. There's a phenomenal anointing about it. And what always interests me is I point people towards things as a doctor to go and make change in the lifestyle. They don't do them. And you sometimes point people towards spiritual resources and they don't take hold of it. But this is for you. And I think if you really are serious about getting healed, you'll come to people like me or the pastor and you'll say, what resources can I take hold of that's actually going to move me out of sickness into healing? Because God heals in 1 of 3 different ways. The power of God can come down, and we saw a lady in Rwanda, and the power of God came down and healed her of her heart and thyroid problems simultaneously, when we were just because the presence of God was there. The glory of God was walking in our midst, and people were getting healed, and God was doing everything, and we were doing nothing, and God was just ministering to people. A second, which is what the Pentecostals say, pray the power down. The second way that people get healed, well, obviously God's mercy and the supernatural grace can come in, but God heals through the anointing. So you can have a man like James Maloney or a number of us, that we can lay hands on you and the power of God will go inside of you and meet that need. But you can't always depend upon a meeting when you have a healing need. God wants you to move beyond that, beyond depending upon people, and move into a place of faith, where you've got faith in the Word of God. You know what the Word of God says about your problem, and you choose to put yourself onto the Word of God rather than your feelings and what your body is telling you. Amen? So let's have a look and see what the Bible says. Let's turn to Mark chapter 10, verse 46. If you actually look at the number of scriptures on healing, you could talk for days and weeks, because there's that much of the New Testament that's absolutely crammed full of healing, particularly the Gospels. But in Mark 10, verse 46, and I'm using one that Paul's preached on, I'm using two today that Paul preached on, and they came to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples, and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And he called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What will thou that I should do unto thee?" And the blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I should receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith have made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and believed Jesus in the way. You see, Jesus actually credits a man with receiving his own sight, because he had faith. You know, faith will actually make you into a nuisance at times, because you will push your way, rather than just accepting your lot in life, rather than just accepting your problem, you will actually take action. You will have heard something. There is a man going around called Jesus, and he went around healing other people. Well, he can actually heal me. Because you translate the idea and what you've heard about somebody else, and you realise that can happen in your life. And you thought, "I want some of that. I want to take hold of that." And that's what God is looking for. You see, God is moved by faith and not by fear. You can be frightened. That doesn't move God. But if you've got faith, it does. Amen. So let's have a look at another scripture. Luke, we'll take a bit more on blind Bartimaeus. His faith resulted in action. He cried out. He cried out to God. He says, "Thou son of David." He just yelled. He wasn't embarrassed by the people around him. I mean, it's like in worship, you're not embarrassed by what's going on around you. You're going to worship God, you're going to press into God, and you're going to lay hold of him until you get what you want. And he casts away his begging garment, and he receives, "Your faith has made you whole." Now the next one is Luke 18, verses 5 and 7. You know, God's looking for persistent, and this is about the story about the importunate widow, or the persistent widow. And he said, "Yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge." This is what the unjust judge said. He says, "I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me." And, you know, but God says, "Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him?" Sometimes of healing, you need to persist. A lot of people, they go along to the meeting and think, "Oh, well, it went along once and, you know, nothing happened." And they take a passive attitude. There's got to be, you've got to be a bit aggressive sometimes. You've got to be a bit active to take hold of what God has got for you. It says the kingdom of God advancing, and it says that violent men lay hold of it. And when it comes to receiving what God's got for you, there's got to be a pressing through. You know, it says in Luke chapter 11, verse 10, "Everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." If you talk to grammar experts, they tell you that it's a continuous participle or something. It's something like, you keep on asking, you keep on seeking, you keep on knocking till the door's knocked down, it's open, you've gone in, and you've got what you want. It's there for you. You know, it's a mustard seed of faith is needed. You know, I pulled out a mustard seed. We've got a jar of mustard seeds, and I pulled out one of them. And if you hold it, if you're not careful, if you don't hold it on your hand, it can just easily roll off. And we think, oh, no, that's mighty. I've got to have a mustard seed, you know, a really massive thing. But it isn't a massive thing. Right, God's just looking for a little titch of faith in you. There's a little bit of faith in every one of us. And you've got to nurture that faith. You've got to nurture that faith by putting the word of God inside of you. And it says, you know, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Well, you've got to get into the Bible, find out what the verses are that relate to your problem or your need, and then you've got to speak them out. You've got to talk them over your body. And you've got to keep on talking them over your body. And you've not got to be moved by whether you've been changed or not at this stage. And you've got to keep on until the healing becomes manifest. And if it takes you hours or days or weeks or months, you've got to keep speaking that word of God until you start to see a transformation in the natural. Because I believe that every problem's got a beginning, but it should also have an ending. It should have an ending. You know, Acts 10 verse 38, and this is what happens to us. Jesus is just an example of a spirit-filled Christian. And it says in Acts 10 verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth for the Holy Ghost and with power, and he went about doing good and healing all. So we're talking about this. The second way that God's healing is by the power and the anointing. Jesus was absolutely filled with unlimited anointing. But we've got that same anointing in us. So I know that when I lay hands on the sick, that the power of God is going into them. And I know it's working, because when I went to Rwanda 2 years ago, people got healed. And when I saw them last time, they were still healed. Yeah, there was one person who had eyesight problems and a headache. And did they go to Specsavers? It wasn't the Specsavers. They came to our meeting, and I prayed for them. And by the grace of God, not because of me, because I'm just a donkey that carries the Lord, but it's what the Lord did. The Lord healed them. And the power of God, the headaches went, their eyesight got corrected. And I said, how is your eyes doing this time? And there's a guy in his 50s, and his eyes are still working fine. He's still healed, yeah? There's another woman who was a bit crazy, and God delivered her, set her free, and she's still free now. Yeah, she was meant to be in a psychiatric hospital, but now she's in a church and in a community, functioning fine. So we praise God for that. You see, so I know that in my hands are anointing. I know the power of God is there. I know if I lay hands on sick, they are going to, you know, the power of God is. So therefore, if you're not receiving your healing, there's a block in you. If you're not being healed. I'm warning you, I can feel the anointing. I can feel the power of God in my hands. I know if I put my hands on somebody, the power of God's been transmitted into them. Yeah? Because the Bible says, not because I'm you know, funny, but it's because it says in Mark chapter 16, you know, they shall lay, you know, believers shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. It's what the Bible says. Yeah? And if the Bible, you know, if you want someone serving teas and coffees that was like Stephen, because he was a man that was full of faith and power. You know, he was just the man to do the teas and the coffees and buffets, whatever he was doing. And yet he had a bigger vision. He was full of faith and power. And he must have been going around laying his hands on people and seeing awesome miracles. And he's the kind of man that we need on our coffee rota, isn't he? We need someone like that. Let's go to Acts chapter 3, verse 2-8, which is a fantastic story. It says, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon them with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking, leaping, and praising God. Yeah? So he's one of these beggars in the Middle East. He's got no power in his legs, can't move, probably crippled, wasted, deformed legs. He's just dumped there every morning. You're on the begging rota for the team. You're going to sit there and try and cream as much cash as you can off all the people going into the temple. That's your job. And that's all you're doing to do day in, day out. Doesn't matter what the weather is, whether it's burning, blistering hot, or whether it's raining, you're sat there. And that's what he does. And then he ekes out a living. But he just didn't even know who Peter and John were. But obviously the gift of faith comes on Peter. Peter realises this is a divine appointment. This is an opportunity for a miracle. And he just says, well, silver and gold have I none. But if you keep mentioning to people like that, you may end up with silver and gold. But he said, but what I have, such as I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He knew he'd be healed. He was so confident with that gift of faith. He takes hold of the man's hand, and when he takes hold of the man's hand, the power of God comes into the man's body. The feet and the ankles are restored to full. It's a creative miracle. Whatever bones and muscles and tendons and ligaments which weren't functional before are now completely restored. The man may never have walked, may not have even been shown how to walk. It suddenly is that power is just rushing through there, restoring everything so it can function.
Wow,
not only to a point so it can crawl around. You know, you sometimes see people get out of wheelchairs and they're just hobbling around a little bit. It wasn't. He was leaping and he was jumping. And that's the, you know, you either put your faith in the Bible or you don't. And that's the same God, 2,000 years, who hasn't changed at all today.
Amen.
Yeah? And it may be that some of you have got weak legs. Or you've got knee problems or leg problems, and you need that strength to come into that part of your body. Well, that's a scripture for you to stand on. You say, because you can say, well, Jesus made this man's ankles and feet strong, or why can't he make your knees strong? Why can't he make your legs strong? Why can't he make your feet and your ankles strong? That is a verse for me. I'm taking it. I'm going to stand on that, because the same God that did that to him can do that to me.
Amen.
Yeah? Amen. So let's move on. You know, even if you've got weak knees, you can go to Isaiah 35, verse 3, strengthen the feeble knees. That's another one you can take, you know. So if we've got Mark, but you may not find your particular problem is in there. But don't worry, you can generalise. Mark chapter 5, verses 25 to 30, and verse 34. Another one that Paul preached on a year or two ago. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood for 12 years, and had suffered many things and many physicians, didn't that come to our surgery, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, and rather grew worse. And when she heard of Jesus, she came in a press behind and touched his garment, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in the body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press, and said, who touched my clothes? You know, it was a severe, debilitating problem. It was a bad thing culturally in a Jewish society. But more than that, I think there's lots of women come across in practice that they suffer with quite severe menstrual problems, which sort of dominate their life, afflict their life. I think the word plague was probably appropriate how she felt about it. And she's suffering. She's probably walking around with appalling anemia the whole time, just feeling weak, washed out, in pain, tired. And she needed God. And she needed God desperately. And she must have heard, this guy heals people. You know, he's not going to want to have anything to do with me as a rabbi, but I can just get in there through the crowd and I can take hold of his coat and I can just touch him and he won't even know what's happened. But I know if I can just do that, because that's the most that someone like me can have possibly hoped to achieve, I know the power of God's going to come out and is going to heal me. And this woman did that. And Jesus didn't even know what was going on. I mean, it's like the people where Peter and Paul are walking past and his shadow falls over people and they're getting healed. And as she touches her arm, the power, the anointing, just goes through her body, goes right into her womb, whatever's needed, God does it, miracle. She immediately feels better. She must feel strength and life and vigour and energy come into her. And she feels better than she's ever felt in her life. and she knows she's been healed. And Jesus, knowing that something had gone on, turns around and said, "Who touched my clothes?" Because he'd recognise a touch of faith. You know, if God's not in, you could say, well, maybe God's not in tune with me, but he's always in tune with faith. It is people this morning, and you're starting to respond in faith, and you can start and say, the same God that did that for this lady can do that for me. And you start, your faith is then starting to reach out and touching Jesus in the Spirit, and it's your faith is making you whole. It's your faith. If you think, well, your faith is weak, then you need to get into the Word of God and keep reading it. I tell you, chapter after chapter after chapter, reading this book, studying it, going over the scriptures, writing them out, reading them, you know, reading them on the plane, reading them when I was getting back in from meetings, you know, speaking them out. I tell you, your faith, it grows and it grows and it grows and it grows and it enlarges, and then your faith gets bigger than the problem, and then you start to laugh at your mountain, and then you start to command your mountain to be moved out of your way. Amen. And then you start to say, well, why can't I? I think it's probably completely reasonable that I should expect to be raising someone from the dead at some point in our missions ministry. Why not? You know, at the moment we're just seeing healings. Okay, well, what is completely reasonable that God's going to lead us into missions. We're going to start seeing creative miracles because I'm rubbing shoulders with people, raising people from the dead. Therefore, something that's going to start happening in my life, and therefore we're going to see bigger things. You know, it says in the Bible, you know, we can take all the promises from the old covenant as well as the new covenant, and every one of them that we want is there for us. It's been put on the banqueting table for us. It says in Exodus 15, verse 26, "I am the Lord that healeth thee." That was part of the covenant, the Mosaic covenant, and we can take the good bits of that and take them for us. Amen. It says in Mark 16, verse 18, I've said this already, "They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." In James 5, 15, "The prayer of faith shall save the sick and the Lord will raise them up." Exodus 23, verse 26, "If you need to believe for a long life in God," that's something, an area where you need faith. It says, "The number of your days I will fulfill." Amen. Psalm 103, verses 2 to 5, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who heals all of my diseases." Not 99%, but all of my diseases. You know, the Bible throws a lot of strong terms out. If you really look at what the Bible says, you know, if I've got a faith as small as a mustard seed, I can shift the mountain. What amount of damage I can do to Scotland. You know, I was born in Scotland, so when I say that. And it says, "And it's so your youth is renewed like the eagles." If God's healing all your diseases, you know, it's not, you get some old people coming into surgery, you say, "They'll get old. It's no fun being old." And you say, well, the Bible says, "My youth, if he's going to heal all my diseases, my youth is renewed like the eagles," because he's healed everything. So I want to be like what God says, not what you say. And I'm tempted to say, according to your faith, let it be done unto you. You know, Psalm 107, verse 20, "He sent his word and healed them." And Isaiah 53, verse 5, "With his stripes we are healed." Amen. You know, it's part of the atoning sacrifice of Christ that we are healed by his stripes. If he's carried your sickness, you don't need to carry it as well as him. In John 10, verse 10, this is a really, really easy one. If you've got, you know, if you're not into remembering scripture, do this one. "I am come that they may have life and have it more abundantly." So you can say, if you can't, I'm not very good at remembering, just say, "Abundant life." And just start speaking abundant life over your body. Abundant life. Look in the mirror and speak to yourself. Abundant life. And if you can't even remember those two words, just say life. You know, and you just keep saying it. Life, 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 life. And every time you feel miserable, you say life. Health. Strength, life, lovely words to say. You feel so good after saying that. I've been doing it, and I just enjoy saying it periodically around the house, because they're going around saying, life! Luke 13, verse 11 to 12. There's a woman who had a spirit of infirmity, 18 years, and Jesus turns around and says, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." What a great thing to say to your wife. "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." You know, and you can say that to yourself. Sometimes sickness is a spirit of infirmity. It needs to be identified and driven out. The demonic moves very, very easily, very fast. You don't have to make a big deal of it, just move it. And Mark 11, verse 24, I think a lot of people with ME have got a spirit of infirmity. It's the spirit of infirmity, and it needs to be driven out. Mark 11, verse 24. What things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. So you see, what do you want? What do you really want? That scripture, Jesus saying, what do you want? Now you guys all think now, what is it you really want in life? What is it you really, really want in your body? And what do you want God to do for you? Have you ever taken the time to actually think what you really want and then put it to God? This is what I want. And Jesus, and then you go to Mark 11, verse 24, and this is a scripture that actually raised Kenneth Hagin off his deathbed when he was 16, 17 years old and healed him, and then gave him 70 years of fruitful ministry. Yeah? What did he wanted to live. So what thing do you want today? Yeah. It could be health, could be anything. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 22. Health to all of your flesh. Every one of your problems. You need to speak to your problem. You know, lay your hand on yourself and say, your word, Lord, is health to all of my flesh. You know, Mark 9, verse 23, it says, all things are possible to him that believeth. There's something that was on the screen when I came in this morning, which says, impossible, nothing. It sounded like a Chris Daniel statement. Did you put that on there? Or was that you? Okay, it's, you know, it says, Matthew 9, verse 29, don't use this impatience, according to your faith, let it be done unto you. And Acts chapter 6, Stephen, a man of full of faith and power, that did great wonders and miracles among the people. There's so many scriptures, we could go on all day with stories from the Bible, miracle. But my question to you, what is it that you want God to do for you? And I want you to think about it and articulate it and put it before God today. Because we're going to lay hands on you and we're going to stand in faith that God is going to do what you want him to do in your life. Yeah? And he's a big God and he's asking you to make a stand this morning. We've come to agree in faith. You know, we agreed with a pastor in 2009 that this barrier would be removed from in his life. And that God broke down the wall and gave him a church building straight after we went. That was the barrier. That's what he wanted. And we said, we'll unite our faith with you. And God did it. Yeah? And so I praise God. So, if you want to stand in faith with you, I want you all to close your eyes now. And if that's you, I want you to raise your hand so we can get an idea of how many people need God to do a miracle in their life. Right, you don't need to work up any kind of atmosphere because we're just going to agree in faith. We're standing on the word of God. So if that is you and you want a miracle, I want you to please come down to the front now. I think it's probably the easiest way to do this. And if we can get you on the stage, and maybe we can have one or two of the leadership team, I don't know, want to stand in faith with them as well. Whatever. Right. When we lay hands on you, the power of God is going to come upon you. The anointing of God is going to come upon you. There's no doubt every one of you is going to receive from God. The challenge you've got is, are you going to receive what God's going to do in you? Amen. So you have to thank God when you get home that the power of God has actually done something. Amen. So, another first one.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.